Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The conversation starts and finishes with Thursday night football tomorrow. The biggest game the Texans have had on their schedule. Yes, it's the next game, but also it has huge playoff implications. The Texans would trail the Colts by a game, and they would not have the tiebreaker if they were to lose tomorrow on Thursday night football. The Colts' schedule the rest of the way, they'd be favored in four of their last five games. The ground to cover might be too much for the Texans to come from behind, win the AFC South if they lose tomorrow's game. But if they win, they're in the catbird seat in the AFC South. They would have a game lead over the Colts. I think they have some of the peripheral tiebreakers as well, because the head-to-head would be tied, and then you put yourself in really good position to at least lock up a playoff spot. And the Texans' schedule over the final outside of the New England game is pretty good as well. So tomorrow, the AFC South, in my opinion, is on the line.
Look, we talked about it from the jump. Talking about Baltimore, New England, Baltimore, Indy, New England, this three-game stretch of football for the Texans was the biggest stretch of Bill O'Brien's career as a Texans head coach. Obviously, they messed the bed in the first opportunity versus Baltimore. That would have catapulted them into the top couple of teams in the AFC and the top five or six in the NFL. And they missed that opportunity. So you move on, and at this point in time, this is the biggest game. And this game now has the opportunity to catapult you into a comfortable spot with five games left in the season. Although you got to go to New England, you feel good about the division. You feel good about the playoffs at that point in time if you can go get a win versus Indy Thursday night. And so you talk about positioning yourself to comfortably move throughout the rest of the season, or position yourself with a loss to all of a sudden be in panic mode and be in jeopardy of missing the playoffs and being mentioned for the next month in the same conversation with the Oakland Raiders. And so for me, this is obviously a huge game for the Texans. It's a must-win game for the Texans. It's a game that the Texans should absolutely win. All things considered, we can cuss it, we can discuss it, we can chop it up six ways to Sunday. When it's all said and done, this is a football team and game that the Texans should win.
The way the team has been constructed over this offseason, with the personnel moves, with the free agent signings, with the draft picks traded away, they are not constructed to be, or they haven't put an investment in there for them to be a team that's competing for a wild card spot. They're supposed to be competing for divisions and Super Bowls and AFC championships. That's what they're supposed to be. And if they lose this game tomorrow, they're no longer in that conversation. They're in the conversation of wild card and possibly missing the playoffs. So this is a huge game from that perspective, because you put so much into making this season work. You think about to how things were about 4 months ago, and about when Brian Gain got let go. And then all of a sudden, all of these moves start transpiring. And you could tell there is a sense of urgency over there at NRG, and they have to get things done. And the way things started off this season, you said, you know what, these moves are working out. This is looking good. All right, they're all in. And now since they're all in, we're all in with them, and we're gonna take this all the way as far as we can take it. Now, after what happened in Baltimore and the way they looked in Baltimore, if you backdoor that with a loss against the Colts, you're no longer in that conversation of what you invested to be in. And so now you have major problems. And so missing the playoffs was not something that is on the table when you make the moves for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills and Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. You're making all these moves. Those aren't moves that you make in order to miss the playoffs. And so this is a huge game for the Texans, and they have to come out on top in order to keep the conversation of where it should be.
When I hear you say that, Wade, it makes me start thinking that means that a loss this week tells you, or puts a team in a tough spot, and they've got a very steep climb the rest of the way. But it tells you that Bill O'Brien, the head football coach, has let down Bill O'Brien, the GM. Because there's no doubt, there's no going backwards and going, well, this roster's not very good. No, they've done a hell of a job. They've done a hell of a job putting a roster together and putting the caliber team from a talent standpoint on the field that should win games and be able to compete with anybody. They're better talent-wise and roster-wise than 41-7 versus Baltimore. I don't know if they're better than them like outright and that they can beat them, but they're better than 41-7 on paper. So when you put it that way and when I think about it, Bill O'Brien, the head coach, has let down. If they were to lose, Bill O'Brien, the coach, has let down Bill O'Brien, the GM, to that point.
Yeah, and that's a great way to put it because personnel-wise, the team is constructed very well. The offensive line is a good group. You have good young talent up on the offensive line that's going to be here for the next few years to come. You're going to have those guys together. So that's a great start there. You got Deshaun Watson. You still have DeAndre Hopkins under contract for at least a couple more years. You have these pieces in place. Now you have to take advantage of that, especially with Deshaun Watson on his rookie deal. If you do not and you find yourself at worst or at best in a wild card spot, now you're looking at it as like this is the same old. We can't be the same old with the amount of what you've invested into bringing certain players into the building. And so this is a huge game for the Texans, and I feel like – you know, this is going to be a turning point in the organization, because if things go left, then this is what happens in the NFL. When you make big moves and you go all in and it doesn't work out, then people get removed. That's what happens. I mean, and so this is one of those games that can tell you, are you going to go right or left? Because if you lose this game, the chances of you winning the division drops so significantly that it's not even a legitimate conversation anymore. Like, if we came in here talking about it on Friday or Monday about, you know, how are the ways that the Texans win this division, then y'all need to call in and tell us we didn't lost y'all damn mind, because that is out of the picture, because now you're counting on the Colts losing ball games against teams that aren't good teams. Now you're hoping and wishing, and you still have to go out there and win ball games yourself. So this is a huge game. And that's why you need everybody there. Everybody that's listening to me right now, we need you there in the building now.
Be there early.
Because, listen, be careful what you wish for. A lot of people say, I want Bill O'Brien out of here. Be careful what you wish for, because he's made a lot of good moves, and there's things about him that you don't like or the way he calls games. But if he's not here, who's going to be here in this place? And if somebody's here in this place, who are the people that are here that you really like that no longer will be here? Because anytime there's a change, that means that personnel gets changed. And so now you have somebody that has a different vision of how things should go coming in. And so that means your team is going to get worse right off the bat. And so that's not something that anybody here should be hoping for to happen, because that is a bad situation any way you slice it.
You don't enter win now mode and make the trade for Laremy Tunsil with the two first rounders. You don't make the Duke Johnson trade to be in the company for the wild card with the Oakland Raiders and the Tennessee Titans and the disaster Cleveland Browns, who are still kind of in the mix as well. So yes, you made those moves to be division champions, not to be fighting for a wild card with the other teams that I just mentioned.
Well, you damn sure don't make them moves and backslide from a record standpoint and a playoff standpoint and sit up there like Santa in a nice cool seat. That sucker gonna get hot. if you're not winning games and steadily getting better, and so we'll see what happens, but again, big game Thursday night, obviously, over at NRG.
A giant no comment earlier today from Astros owner Jim Crane. They were at the owners meetings in Arlington. The owners can talk to the media. Not all of the owners talk to the media at these things. They can turn them down. But Jim Crane went up to some of the media. He walked by them. They were asked, the media did, ask Jim Crane, do you have a few minutes to talk? Crane responded, if you want to talk about baseball, I'll talk about baseball. What else do you want to talk about? The reporter said, so you have no comment on ... And then Crane said, any other issues, before two police officers intervened. That's Chandler Rome's account of what happened at the owner meetings earlier today in Arlington. Rome with the Houston Chronicle. So basically a giant no comment for Jim Crane. First time he was near the media since these Astro cheating allegations. And it's going to be interesting to see the fallout whenever the fallout occurs, either from Major League Baseball or maybe even from Jim Crane, Houston Astros owner.
Yeah, look, I mean, when it's all said and done, they're in protection mode at this point in time. I mean, I think there's clearly been some wrongdoings. They're clearly going to be held accountable. They're going to be disciplined. Unfortunately, it looks like Major League Baseball is zoned in on the Astros and the Astros only. And so for the owner of the team to to make any comment whatsoever about the situation would be absolutely foolish, and Jim Crane knows that.
I tell you what, man, this is one of those situations where now you just have to say brace yourself. If you're an Astros fan, brace yourself, because it's not a matter of when or not a matter of what per se. It's how bad is it going to be when they come down with the discipline on the Houston Astros, because everything is pointing to the fact that they are going to come down on the Astros, and all signs are pointing to it being a significant amount of discipline. And if it affects what you do going forward for the upcoming season and then seasons past that, that could be detrimental to everything that you've planned to get to this point. They've made a lot of moves and used a lot of resources to construct the team the way it is now. And if that gets delayed or pushed back because they have significant sanctions put against them this upcoming season, that can mess up things for the foreseeable future for the Astros. So brace yourself, because it's coming.
I think you're right. Rockets are in Denver tonight to face the Nuggets. A good test for the Rockets, who have won 8 games in a row. They're, in fact, 1.5-point underdogs on the road against the Nuggets tonight. Y'all remember when the Texans won 9 games in a row last year and everybody was critical of the winning streak? The strength of schedule in the winning streak wasn't great. The results of those 9 wins weren't great. You can make the case for the Rockets, too, that they haven't beaten anybody significant in this winning streak. Yes, they beat the Clippers, but they didn't have Paul George in that game. Today could be the best win of the winning streak against the Nuggets in Denver, a tough place to play. Another early season sign if the Houston Rockets are as good as some people think that they may be.
I think it's a starred game. I mean, it's one of those games that starred, and you really, really dial in on what, you know, what James Harden does, particularly in the fourth quarter. If the game is on the line, now if it's out of reach or one way or the other, then who gives a rip, right? But if it's on the line and it's one of those kill or be killed types of situations, you know, what does James Harden do? Does James Harden go get it? Which I would expect him to. If he doesn't go get it, I would expect Westbrook to go get it. I'm anxious, guys. I know it's early in the season, and you know, obviously we cover the Rockets, so I've always been dialed in. But for me, I'm anxious. I'm excited. I want to go watch this year's Houston Rockets play ball and see if that Russell Westbrook mentality is as contagious as I think it's going to be, and you can see it in the other players.
Clinch Turner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're going to have Indy host JMV. He does radio on 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. We're going to ask him, T.Y. Hilton going to play, what he thinks of the storylines heading into Thursday night football tomorrow between the Texans and the Colts. That's next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Alongside Clinch Turner and Wade Smith, I'm Jeremy Branham, joined now by JMV, host and Indy from 1070 The Fan. JMV, is T.Y. Hilton playing tomorrow?
You know what? If I'm a betting man, and I'm in a casino right now, so I guess I am a betting man, I would say absolutely, positively, yes, he's going to play. Because, I mean, listen, he did participate fully in practice, but you know what this is like. I mean, he went through a walkthrough. I mean, I think basically everybody in the room where I am right now could probably, you know, participate in practice if it's a walkthrough. So he did that. I think there's a reason why he's going. I don't think he's going to be near as good as he should be, but, I mean, you guys know this better than anybody. He has been an absolute terror for that defense down there. And I think just having him on the field, because they are without playmakers offensively. I mean, they really are. They have good players, but no playmakers. And I just think his presence out there alone is a big deal for them. And, yeah, I think he will play.
JMV, I can't let that slide, man. It's a Wednesday night. What the hell are you doing in a casino, brother?
Hey, why wouldn't I be here?
Good point.
Hey, listen, my show's about casinos and bourbon. So what? I mean, is there anything better than this gig we got working here? Nothing. So
that's good stuff, man. Hey, what about with Indy short week? You know, I mean, any major concerns there?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is across the board, because you lose Marlon Mack, and really, for the first time in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, if you count just getting back on track against Jacksonville on Sunday, this team hadn't looked anything like what we saw against Houston earlier this season or at Arrowhead on Sunday night against Kansas City. It just simply hasn't looked like that at all. And they finally got back on track and had a really good unifying type of total team effort win against Jacksonville. The defense has been really good, but the offense has been up and down, and they were able to run the football, and then Marlon Mack goes down, and you get, you know, 100-yard games from Mack, and Jonathan Williams, but I don't know if anybody expects Jonathan Williams to produce like he did last week against this Texans defense. So now you get Williams and you get, you know, Jordan Wilkins. He's going to return. There's not a lot of playmakers here. And, you know, obviously I think it's going to be a premium making plays against this Texans defense tomorrow night. And that's why I question it, guys. I really do, because I think this is a must-win for the Colts. But I think it's even more of a must-win for the Texans, considering the Colts already have a win against them. They're tied in the division. And then you get the Texans, obviously, get the Patriots on the schedule. I think it's a must-win for the Colts, but it's an even larger game for the Texans coming up tomorrow night. And to me, the Colts just don't have those playmakers. If T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, I think they're going to have a tremendous problem. But the thing they can hang their hat on right now is the fact that out of the past 4 weeks, last week they finally got things into gear, and maybe that'll hold over in a short week.
Jacoby Brissett is coming off of about 3 weeks off of an MCL sprain. He played last week. Talk to me about his mobility. Has he regained that at all? Is he kind of more of a statue back there in the pocket these days?
You know, it's funny, man. I don't think he's altogether just straight up a statue. He doesn't have great maneuverability. I mean, he's not quick. He wasn't like Andrew Luck was. But, man, it's weird. He's not Ben Roethlisberger strength-wise, but it's weird how he doesn't get caught a lot. I mean, he doesn't. I don't know if that's just thinking things out, being right place, right time, or what. But he can squeeze via strength out of things. It seems like he's got a pretty good clock inside his head about when to get rid of the ball, when's the good time to do that. Yeah, he doesn't – you know what? He doesn't seem like a statue to me. I mean, he just doesn't. And there's just such a huge difference when he's able to have some pocket time. And I think the last time we talked, fellas, I said this. As much credit as I give to Jacoby, and I think he's been outstanding this year. I mean, given 2 weeks before the start of the season, you know, Andrew pulls the plug on his career and this mass chaos around here, as we talked about. But he has been fantastic for this team. But maybe even equal to or more so than that, it's been Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni putting him in positions for success and not positions to fail, meaning not putting a lot of weight on his shoulders to do things that may have been early on outside his realm, giving him somewhat of a groove. And, you know, beyond the fact that he got injured and had to sit out a game, I think he's kind of taken that baton and he's run with it. And he's become that threat. He's been a conversation guy as far as, all right, we know who the MVP is of the, oh, you guys saw him last week, the MVP so far this season. But Jacoby Brissett, you can honestly, because of the success of this team, talk with him about how much he means, at least in an MVP category. And as much as I give that to him, I give the credit to Reich and Sirianni for putting him within the system for positions of success and not failure. And there's a fine line in the NFL or any level of football in doing that.
JMV, afternoon host for 1070 The Fan, is joining us. I got to ask you, JMV, Frank Reich yesterday called his defense legit. What did he mean by that? Yeah. Why did he feel the need to say that?
Oh, I just propped them up, I'm sure. I mean, they have been. I mean, they have been legit. I mean, where this offense has been up and down, you know, and you could argue having Brian Hoyer in there means your offense is going to be down no matter really what you're talking about there. So that was an issue. Even though you paid the dude $3 million for, what, 3 or 4 years to do that, you knew that that was going to be up and down. But now this defense has been legit. And the early season struggles in year number two for Darius Leonard have now disappeared, and he's been more like that player you saw as a rookie a year ago. Justin Houston has been fantastic, and I think the biggest key for this game tomorrow night is kind of what we saw in Baltimore, and you guys saw in Baltimore, is this the pressure on Deshaun Watson without his escapability, without him able to make plays out of the pocket, and Justin Houston has been so key in that. Not since Robert Mathis have we seen somebody that can consistently put pressure on the quarterback. And he has been perfect for that defense this year. I think probably what he was describing, guys, was just this defense coming into their own, you know, for the stretch run of the season, which is a good thing.
What do you think about the ability to play more man and couple that with the fact that obviously they're pressuring more and yada yada, some of the things you just alluded to.
Yeah.
But you've got the Texans receiving core. I mean, they're special when they're healthy. How do you see the secondary in particular matching up with the Texans wide receivers?
Well, I think idealistically is what you want is kind of what you got in that first game, guys. I mean, you want to put pressure on Watson, but you have to keep him within reach. I mean, you don't want him going out there and creating something that he can easily do as an incredibly athletic quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, that's kind of similar to how they handled Patrick Mahomes before Mahomes got injured back in September on that Sunday night at Arrowhead. There was a couple of times that they had negative plays, and both of those matters came down to the fact that Mahomes had pressure, got loose of that pressure, got out of the pocket, and just created some magic. And that's the same thing Deshaun Watson can do. I mean, you need to put pressure on him. You need to hit him, but you need to keep him confined. And that is the hope of Matt Eberflus in that defense. And they've done a good job of that. I mean, their sample size this season, they have done a pretty good job of that, and that's really going to have to be the key. And then, you know what, you play a little bit more, man. If you put pressure, you guys know this. I mean, if you put pressure on the quarterback, that makes everybody in the back look awesome. I mean, it doesn't matter how good. If you're middle of the road, a little above average, I mean, that makes you look like a damn good defensive back. So that, to me, is the key. But you got to keep him confined in space, because if he cuts loose, he's going to burn you. And that's exactly is what's going to happen tomorrow night if he's allowed to get out there and make plays.
JMV, you have your fingers on the pulse of the Indianapolis Colts. How much confidence do you think they have coming into this ball game on Thursday Night Football against the Houston Texans?
Oh, I think they have enough. I mean, I don't think anybody goes in thinking about, well, you know, a short week and we're banged up. We don't have a running back. And, you know, T.Y. Hilton's just now coming back from a calf injury. Hopefully he plays. I don't think they take it like that. I think what they're playing off of is in the now. And in the now, they came off a really nice win over Jacksonville, because honestly, Miami might have been that loss, the most embarrassing loss of the season for any team. I mean, at home, you got to be kidding me. The way that they looked playing down to the competition, and really, that's what this team has done this year. They have played up to the competition, and for whatever reason, they played down to the competition, which to me has me thinking that this team altogether is not as good as we think it should be, because there was a point in time after that win the first time over Houston where they could have taken off with the schedule, and had they taken care of business, they could have been in a similar situation as Baltimore is in right now, being talked about as one of the best teams in the NFL. But since they didn't take care of that, they barely beat Denver. They lost to Pittsburgh in really awful results, and Adam Vinatieri struggles, and those questions regarding the GOAT. And then you have, you know, obviously that Miami loss, which is so bad. So they kind of put themselves in a situation to where it could be a lot more glorified for them right now, because they could have taken care of business instead of being in a tie with the Texans and being in a must-win situation, divisionally speaking, on the road in Houston tomorrow night. It's just, it's been a really odd season. It kind of makes you think they're just not as good as sometimes you think they are, and they're certainly not as bad as sometimes you think they are. It's just been kind of an odd month or so around here.
JMV, thanks for the time. Bet it all on black, all right?
Fellas, I'm going to tell you what. You're my favorite show. I come on. And one of these days, you're going to have me on. We got to talk about more than just football. You guys just throw it wide open down there, and we'll entertain the folks in Houston with more than just football, because you guys are hellaciously fun. I got to have you guys on my show sometime.
Hey,
my
man, what are you doing? What are you doing Friday, Chief? What are you doing Friday, Chief?
I got a show at Twin Peaks tomorrow, and you guys know all about Twin Peaks, okay? I'm sorry to give credit to somebody that may not be an advertiser down there, but I know you guys have some locations. I'm doing that, and then Friday we're out with a local beer and having some fun. I go out everywhere, but you guys, I got to get you guys on the show sometime and pay you back, because I got a great deal of love for Houston, and you guys get me on down there, and I appreciate you for that. I really do. And shout out to Brian for texting me and get me on here too. I love it.
Yeah, Brian's the brains of the operation. JMV, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon,
fellas. Anytime. Thank you.
JMV does radio 1070 The Fan in Indy. Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham coming up next. First, voting results from the fans are in for the Pro Bowl voting. Are the Texans getting some love? Also, we'll start looking ahead to the game tomorrow night against the Colts with some keys tomorrow night. Listen to Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham. The All-Pro voting, not All-Pro, why do I keep saying that? Pro Bowl voting is out. The fans' first ballots are out. Now, this will not determine who is a Pro Bowler this year, but the first voting results are out from the fans. Number one receiver for the AFC, the leading vote getter in the AFC, It's DeAndre Hopkins. The fans are getting it right at that position.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just think there's – we've talked at length about it, guys, the way they've used him throughout the season, the way he's adjusted and advanced his game and at this point in his career when he's at the 600-catch mark. It's extremely impressive, man. And I do believe that, when they get this thing, this offense – a little more well-rounded, get guys healthy, get them back, and really get in a groove, you're going to see even better production, more production from DeAndre Hopkins. And so after last week, the struggle with Baltimore and the earlier in the year struggle versus Jacksonville, and I don't mean Hopkins, I just mean generally speaking, big picture, this team has struggled at this point versus that man to stretch the field, particularly on the vertical side of things. It wouldn't surprise me at all if this week you didn't see a little bit more of an attempt to get him vertical, maybe back to some of that back shoulder stuff when he singled up on a DB on one side of the field or the other. So point being is he's already crushing it in the voting, obviously. Yep. I don't think that we've seen the best of him in this offense yet at this point throughout the season.
Yeah, you look at him, he's averaging 7.5 catches a game, and you know that every team that they play against is planning to slow down or stop DeAndre Hopkins, but yet he's still able to go out there and produce. And so you got to give credit to the offensive play calling in this case, because they're moving him around. They're putting him in the slot. They're giving him opportunities all over the field. But you got to give a lot of credit to him because he knows the offense in and out, and so he's able to move all over so they can get him free, because every time you look up, he's getting double teamed. There's always two sets of eyes looking at DeAndre Hopkins. Sometimes it's three sets of eyes looking at him. And so it takes it upon the other guys on the roster, the other receivers that are in the route, to win one-on-one battles, because they are rarely getting double teamed. And so that's something I'm looking to see against the Colts. It's like, how many of those guys, the Kenny Stills and the Kiki QTs, and if Will Fuller's back, what type of ball games can they put out there, and what type of performances can they produce going against man-to-man single coverage? Because if they win that, one-on-one matchup, that bodes well for the Houston Texans.
I know we sound like a broken record saying this, but boy, it's going to be nice to see if and when Will Fuller gets back out there with DeAndre Hopkins. It's going to be nice to see them back on the field together. But with the advancements that I believe that this offense has made relative to using DeAndre Hopkins, the addition of Fuller back out wide, it's always been dangerous since they've been here together, but it can even be tenfold more dangerous or more potent with Fuller out there. So I'm anxious to see again today. He was not on the out list.
It's right? Questionable.
Obviously questionable. He'll be questionable until you see him either trot on the field Thursday night or not. But the fact that he wasn't on the list of guys that are for sure not going to play is a big step in the right direction. And I'm just anxious to see back to DeAndre Hopkins, what he's capable of doing, what he's done this far in the season is crazy to wrap your head around. And to think that it can get better with Will Fuller being inserted back into this lineup, it could be fun Thursday night if he's back.
Clint, let me ask you this. If Will Fuller is not 100%, if he's at, let's say, 85-90%, you look at how big of a ball game this is. Is this a game that you say, if Will Fuller's not 100%, he's got to play regardless? Or is this a game that you say, you know what, I know this is a big game, but I know that if I put Will Fuller out there and he's not 100%, the chances of him getting hurt goes up significantly, and you might not have him down the stretch. Like, how do you look at that?
I'm out on it, man. Because you're talking about a hamstring. You're talking about a shoulder, or you were talking about, something that if he snapped it again, or strained it again or tweaked it again, it wouldn't set him back even further, then we'd be cool with it. If we're coming back from a high ankle sprain that he's just been hobbled and it's not likely that it could injure him further, then yeah. But you're talking about, how hamstring is, man. When you're talking about a guy, if he can't open up his stride at all, then because you can't, if you're 85%, if you're still feeling that thing when you open up and when you burst off the line, if he can't do that, man, you're just risking tearing it completely and losing him for the rest of the season and possibly affecting his career. So I wouldn't push the envelope. You got Kenny Stills. You can use him in a similar way. As I mentioned earlier, I don't think that Baltimore is going to be able to roll out the same type of secondary I don't think Indy's going to be able to roll out the same type of secondary that Baltimore rolled out. I think we're going to look forward, guys, down the road in the playoffs, and people are going to start openly, very loudly talking about Baltimore's secondary. I was that impressed with the film that I was able to watch. I mean, there was very little space created by this receiving core of the Texans. And not that without Fuller they're the best in the league, they're still pretty damn good. And so I just don't think Indy's going to roll out a secondary like Baltimore. And so I think that the Texans will have success. Therefore, they don't need to push Fuller if he is not quite to 100%.
Would you, Smitty?
That's a great question.
It's a great question.
It's a great
yes.
question. Now, I tell you what, thank you. I always say this, man.
That's a great question.
If you go give
it
me,
just dawned on me.
Yeah, if you go give me the love, I'm going to take it. I'm like, I appreciate
you.
I thought it was a good question, too. Hey,
this turkey over here on this plate, man. Hey. Don't worry about
you. I tell you what, man, this ball game, there's two ways to look at it because I agree with Clint when I say that I don't want to risk him. To for the rest of the season, because if it's a hamstring, if you tweak it again, he's probably going to be done for the next 3-4 weeks, and basically that's the season. So, and your season is on the line this week. But then you also look at, all right, if you game plan and you have a guy in the game plan and he goes out in the first quarter, it kind of messes up. Have you seen this happen earlier this year where Will Fuller goes out early in the ball game and now it messes everybody else up because your other receivers weren't working those routes, and so it messes them up. But this week is kind of weird because it's a Thursday, and so they haven't been running routes full speed anyway. Everything has been walked through. So with that being said, I say play him. I say play him. And because everybody, the other guys that are going to be playing in this ball game that are active, they're going to mentally have to all be on the same page and know what everyone's supposed to do anyway, because it's not like they've been running these routes full speed and having a bunch of full-on practices. Everything has been walked through. So I think he needs to play. I think this game is big enough that you have to play him. And if you lose him for the rest of the season, you lose him for the rest of the season. But I like the threat of having Will Fuller out there on Thursday Night Football.
If I knew how many games I would lose him for after playing him with the hamstring injury, it'd be something I would entertain. You know, the rest of the season, that's too much of a price. But if you said like two, like if he's going to miss the New England game and then the Bronco game after that, then the answer is yes, because that's how important this game is. But you don't know the answer to that.
Well, but given the amount of time that he's missed already tells you that it was pretty severe up front. I mean, I think when you watch him and Kenny Steeles, with whether it's a groin or a hamstring, and they walk off the field and they just kind of rub on it a little bit and there's not really much of a limp, you go, oh, it must not be too bad. But when they start piling up games and a bye week and another game, you just go, man, this must be pretty severe. And so, you know, I don't know, Wade. I agree with you that there's no doubt, even if he's 85% and he's out there, now you got him, Kenny Steeles, and DeAndre Hopkins spread across the field. That's a hell of a trio right there to defend. So I get the point, man. If he is close, boy, you'd hate to just backslide back into another month or another 6 weeks of rehab if you're really, really close.
Three guys are questionable. We just talked about Will Fuller. The other two, Bradley Roby and Tayshawn Gibson. If you had to rank those three guys in order of who you need to play the most in order to win against the Colts tomorrow night, what's your order from, you know, this guy is the most important to the least important?
It goes Roby, Fuller, Gibson for me.
Now, remember, you're also out Mike Adams, Justin Reed, and Lonnie Johnson. Those guys are out. So if you don't have Gibson, that means you're probably going to have to start AJ Moore at safety.
Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, AJ Moore, you know, some of the guys, Jahlil Adai, those guys don't bother me. They played a lot. They not necessarily AJ hadn't had a ton of playing time, but I saw him a lot in the preseason. I thought he fit in really, really well. I thought he was made several big time plays on the defensive side of the football throughout training camp. And so I think he's a guy that you're not concerned with if you got to plug him in. Clearly he's not Gibson. Clearly he's not Reed, but you're not overly concerned. He's been there all year. He knows the defense. He's a physical guy that covers punts and kicks like an absolute monster. You got to believe he's okay coming downhill and stopping the run or playing in the box to rush the passer. And so AJ Moore, the safety situation doesn't scare me at all, but I feel like every time we talk about Bradley Roby, every week it rolls around and we're talking about his injury. He changes the game, man. And his ability to go out there and either lock down T.Y. Hilton or play backside of T.Y. Hilton is absolutely huge.
If I had to rank them, I would say Roby 1, and then I would say Gibson 2, And then I would say Fuller 3. And the reason why I would say Gibson 2 is because you're playing against the Colts. Eric Ebron is on the other side of the field. Tashaun Gibson is your guy that you brought in here to handle tight ends like that, like Gibson. I mean, like Ebron and Kelce and guys like Andrews last week for the Baltimore Ravens. And so that's your guy, your tight end whisperer per se. And so I would put him over Fuller because you haven't had Fuller over the past, what, month and a half now? It seemed like it's been about 4 or 5 weeks since Will Fuller's been out there. It seems like, am I wrong?
I can't remember what game that he
It seems like it's been a while since he's been out, but you haven't had him, and you've had some success, a lot of success moving the ball without Will Fuller, so I think you can still do that. I think Will Fuller just makes it unfair for teams. You know, yeah. I mean, if you have Will Fuller at full strength, then basically it's unfair because now you got somebody that's going to take the top off the defense. It opens up everything and it makes everything that much easier. But I've seen the Texans offense have success without Fuller. I think that this ball game, you need Bradley Roby because T.Y. Hilton is going to play. You need Bradley Roby to take care of one side of the field. And then you need Gibson because of Eric Ebron, because I think that's what they're going to resort to, is to throw the ball to Eric Ebron down those seams. And so that would be my order.
Will Fuller, last time he played was a month ago. He played in the last Indy game. He got hurt, ironically, in that Indy game.
In the first quarter, right?
Yep, first quarter. He only had one catch in that game. So the Colts got the Texans whenever Fuller got hurt. And the Texans still moved the ball but lost. We know the story, 30-23. We didn't look too much at the Colts injury report other than T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton's questionable. The biggest news from the Colts, Marlon Mack fractured his hand. He is out. Jonathan Williams looked good. Paris Campbell, the rookie from Ohio State, he hasn't played for a while with the Colts. He was out. He's been ruled as out as well. Rockyasin, the young corner, is questionable. Was a limited participant today. Also questionable, T.Y. Hilton and Eric Ebron. So we'll see what kind of weapons Jacoby Brissett has tomorrow night. Eric Ebron, T.Y. Hilton, the good news, if you're looking at it from a Colts perspective, is that they were estimated to be full participants. And whenever I say estimated to be full participants in practice, you have the short week. They don't have real practices. They have walkthroughs, so the teams have to estimate if it was a normal game week, if they would have been good enough to practice or not. But they still have Jack Doyle. Jack Doyle is a really underrated tight end. He might be a better tight end than Eric Ebron. That's up for debate. Ebron had all those touchdowns last year. But, you know, the Texans have a lot of questions tomorrow night in terms of the injuries, but the Colts do too. I mean, Ebron and Hilton, those are two huge weapons for Jacoby Brissett if they can't go.
Yeah, and that's why for me, when I talk about this game, this is a game that the Texans should win. It's obviously a must win and all the things we chopped up, but to me, this is a game that from if you stack them up on the on paper, the Texans are significantly better. I don't care what happened last week against Baltimore. If you come back and you put the product on the field that you're perfectly capable of putting on the field, then you should come out of Thursday night with a victory versus the Indianapolis Colts. And it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that obviously Andrew Luck's gone. Obviously T.Y. Hilton's banged up. Paris Campbell, their rookie, he's out. I mean, they've got some key contributors on both sides of the ball that are either questionable and or out, and you were more talented than they were from the jump anyway. And so for me, it's one of those deals where if the Texans – truly go out there and just handle their business and bounce back off of that Baltimore game in the right way and put the right product on the field that they're capable of putting on the field, then they should win this game. There's no doubt about it. They are better than the Indianapolis Colts on paper. They're better than the Indianapolis Colts skill-wise. If you watch them play, they're more powerful, they're more potent, they're more explosive. Let me say they're capable of being all of that and should be all of that. If the right plan is put together and if these guys, starting with Deshaun Watson, can get back on track.
The Texans, what they have to do in order to win this game is they have to do something that they've had a hard time showing that they can do throughout this season, and that's playing a clean football game. That means eliminating the false starts, eliminating guys not getting lined up correctly, eliminating defensive holdings on third down and 11s, you know, eliminating pass interferences that gives the other team 40-yard gains. Like, that's what they have to do in order to beat the Colts, because the Colts are a team that's put together that is not going to give you anything. They're going to be methodical. They're not going to be too explosive, but they're going to always be in a position to win a ball game. And so in order to beat teams like that, you cannot give them anything. And I think that's what the Texans have to do in order to come out with the dub.
There's no doubt about it. You talk about red zone rules, right? No penalties, no turnovers, no sacks. You can take that and apply it to the Colts game between the 20s and in the red zone. You can apply it to their end. They believe in that. Obviously, everybody wants to keep those to a minimum, but they don't just want to. They exercise it on a daily basis, and they're going to do those things extremely well. If you don't do them as well, if not better, then it's going to be tough to beat them. And so the Texans got a lot of cleaning up to do. If the Texans clean up their own house and right the ship in some of those categories that Wade was just talking about with the penalties in particular, then the Texans have a much better chance of winning the game.
Moving back to full circle to the Pro Bowl voting, the first ballots, the first voting results of the fans. They had DeAndre Hopkins number one for AFC wide receivers. I'm impressed by the voters, by the way. The top three vote getters in the NFL in this order: Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson. Like, we always complain about voters getting it wrong, the fans getting it wrong. First results say they got it pretty good.
Yeah, and I can get down with that. A lot of times you look at it and it's usually a popularity contest, which I don't know, when you're talking quarterbacks, it's harder to decide whether it's a popularity contest or people really watching football and trying to pick the best of the best. But you can't argue about that group right there. There's no doubt about it.
Nick Bosa was the leader defensively, by the way. Nick Bosa, the rookie for the 49ers.
Yeah, he's having a good season.
He's having a hell of a season. He's on one of the best defenses in the NFL, and he's kind of the bell cow, the guy that stirs the drink out there. And so he deserves to get a lot of the attention that he's gotten, because he's a terror out there. He might have some questionable thought processes and things that he says to teammates and things of that nature.
What did he do?
He can play ball. The kid can play ball.
What was the questionable thing that he did?
I mean, we don't have time to get into that. We're about to go off the show in
you
1 minute.
You can't squeeze it in 10
seconds. No, definitely cannot.
B-Mac Hobson, our ears, says 1 minute.
Exactly.
Right as you asked that question. So I guess that's the answer to my question. I'll have to ask you later.
I got time to get into this potluck leftover we had.
Hey, man. Hey, the food was good.
That 610 family had a nice little Thanksgiving potluck luncheon today for everybody. And there's a lot of leftovers down there, and I love some leftovers.
I'm not sure there's
baby.
Any leftovers now.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing what you got in that little container.
You got a turkey leg over
ain't
there.
Ain't nothing scream Thanksgiving like a good old turkey leg, babe.
Turkey leg, some pie.
All right. Yeah, pie. That's all the time we have for you today. Thanks to Brian McDonald behind the glass doing all the hard work. For Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, I'm Jeremy Branham. Coming up next on Texans All Access, hosted by John Harris, Andre Ware and Clint Sterner join the show to talk Texans Colts. They'll go behind enemy sidelines with DB Sadu, joined by Andrew Walker of Colts.com. The weekly Men Behind the Mic segment with Mark Vandermeer catching up with Matt Taylor, play-by-play voice for the Colts. Until next time, so long, Houston.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.